Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it looks like we're starting off February on the 5th.
On the 5th.
It's a short month and we're probably only, how many shows are we going to do? One, two, three, four shows this month, period.
Go. Well, that's good because people, you know, are clamoring for us.
Yeah.
They need to hear us. They need to understand what's going on. Lots going on. So thank you for joining me this evening, even though the State of the Union address, the SOTU, is on. Because we have some things to talk about. We got the rally that's rolling on. We got to talk about the latest employment report. We got to talk about the State of the Union, which is happening. Buybacks are under fire. We have a new close to the pin we got to talk about. And I thought I just mentioned my fishing trip this weekend.
So yeah, apparently you went out fishing and everybody says you've caught a giant marlin, probably one of the biggest in the history of Florida.
The biggest ever. We went out fishing. Well, it was on Saturday morning and I was debating whether to go or not because the seas looked pretty rough and I was questioning I was going to go out Sunday also. And it was on somebody else's boat and I wasn't sure how it handled. And I said, all right, to hell with it. I'm going. So I get over there, get on the boat. It's kind of breezy in the morning, which isn't a good sign. Get out there and it's like 3 to 4 foot seas. Not terrible, but it's not good. And they decide, there's about five of us, that they're going to barrel down to Miami from Fort Lauderdale in 3 to 4 foot seas at 30 miles an hour.
Okay.
So that's like being in your car and having giant speed bumps the size of 3 footers going over those on a regular basis every like 4 seconds. And the boat's going out of the water and it's in the air. You hear the engines like kind of revving hot because they're out of the water. And we finally get down there. We start fishing. We do sail fishing with kites. We put kites up there and we're fishing nothing, nothing, nothing. I'm getting a little sick actually, which I never do. And I'm thinking, all right, man, we'll see what happens. Go to another spot, nothing. I pull up a kingfish. Then we go somewhere else. I said, you know, listen, let's go a little bit north because we got to get home eventually. We got to go north. And so we go there and just like that, we get a sailfish. We work it in. Beautiful, like 60-pound sailfish. They're gorgeous. Just, I got some great video. I put it on Twitter, actually, of the sailfish coming out of the water, dancing and tailing in the water. It was great. The guy says about 1:30, says, you know, let's go back. Okay. So on the way back, he says, listen, Andrew, you know, I know you want to get back, but a lot of guys in the boat, they want to stop off at the club to get a quick, we'll do a touch and go and get a rum punch. I'm like, okay. So we get to the club, which is on the way back to my house, the yacht club. We are a couple of us are members. And we get to the yacht club and we have a rum punch, which turns into chicken wings, which turns into another rum punch. And if you've ever had rum punches, you know, they kind of get you. Right? You know?
I don't drink rum punch, but okay.
So now I get home. Now it's 5 o'clock.
So you're plastered and you smell like chicken.
Yeah. And fish and bait. So now I get home. It's 5 o'clock. I think, all right, I got to be somewhere and leave at 7. I can take a half hour nap, get ready to go. No such thing as a nap in my house when I want to take a nap. Everybody wants to talk to me. Okay. I drive to this guy's house. He starts pouring wine. You got to have this wine, he says. I said, I don't know if I could have any wine. Pours the wine. We go to a restaurant that's about a half hour drive. There's an hour wait. We leave there. We go to a different restaurant, an Italian restaurant. He orders a bottle of wine. He starts pouring the wine out. I'm like, oh, this is not good. So now I'm exhausted from being up at 5 a.m. I'm banged up from being on the boat in these 3 to 4 foot seas. Okay. I'm exhausted from fishing. I got these rum punches that are kind of still hanging out there. And now he says, let's go back. I'll drive you home. He says, come on in the house. Go in the house. Let me pour you a glass of wine. I'm like, oh, no, I don't think so. Pours me a glass of wine. All I could tell you is it was like 10 o'clock. I couldn't keep my eyes, like physically, couldn't keep my eyes open. It looks like I was, my eyes were rolling back. My head, I'm sitting in a chair. My head is bobbing up and down. I was so embarrassed. You know, I couldn't keep my, I'm like, I'm sorry. I just can't. I'm trying. I just can't stay awake. And I did something that I do. You got to know something's really wrong when I say to my wife, you drive home. So she drove home. And
well, that was smart.
That was that. But it was a good day.
Well, okay, let me recommend something for you.
Yeah.
You're drinking too much. You got somewhere. So you're apparently being pushed to drink too much or whatever. Get yourself some NAC, NAC. It's a supplement that a number of companies make. And it does a number on the alcohol, and it kind of like keeps you from getting plastered.
Do you take that?
German kids use this stuff to an excess.
When do you take this? Is it before, after, during?
When you're at the point where you've drunk too much, that's when you take it.
Hmm. All right.
In your case, probably after the rum punch.
Yeah, that would have done it. Yeah. The combination just wasn't good. The whole combination of the day and it was just, you know, it's rough being on the salt water for, what was it? We were there for 8 hours.
Oh, geez.
And, yeah, and seas that were moving pretty well, you know?
Yeah.
Well, let's focus back on the markets for a minute, give you a quick market update. And as I said, the rally is rolling on. It was a busy week for earnings last week. 50% of the Dow Jones Industrial Average and 50% of the S&P 500 reported last week. So the general takeaway that I got was that companies are beating estimates that have been lowered significantly. We looked at that last week of Apple. Remember, we went through that, right?
Yep.
So we went through this. It's the same thing. And guidance is tepid. Everybody's concerned about, well, what if the tariffs? And I'm not sure about this. And we're going to hold off on spending that. And so there wasn't a lot to get excited about, except for the fact that maybe stocks, and definitely earlier in the month, stocks have been driven down too much compared to where earnings really were too early. So in other words, earnings did roll over and come down significantly, but stocks came down much faster. So now we're catching up. And investors are pricing in a resolution to the China trade war. I bet there will be a discussion about this tonight in the State of the Union. Something of trade talks are going very well. We're going to get a great deal, the best ever. And, you know, we're going to see this very soon. So China started buying soybeans and other agricultural products. Everybody's really excited. We've also seen no major negative Trump tweets that have roiled markets recently.
Yeah, he's too busy writing a speech.
You think he writes it?
No, but I'm sure he puts the gives it. I'm sure he gives it a once over, unlike others.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. BTD is back. That's buy the dip. Some people put an F in there, and the VIX is now back below or right at 15. So the Fed came out last week. I don't know if you saw the commentary or you watched the actual meeting. I watched the meeting. And the Fed came out at first saying that there's going to be no rate hike, which everybody pretty much expected, but markets got all excited about that because there was some commentary in the actual minutes, in the actual, well, the release of the no rate hike notification. And that was that they're considering and they're looking at this possibility of stopping their quantitative easing process, something we talked about also. So this whole idea, they keep on repeating the word patience and flexibility and will be number and economic data dependent. And these are the key words that they keep on repeating until they don't work, of course. Then they'll find something else to keep markets afloat. There have been so many people talking about the incredible about face that Powell has done in the last 30 days and questioning one of two things. Is it politically, well, one of a couple things. Is it politically driven? Is it because he realizes that he made a mistake by trying to go too fast? Or is there something else lurking out there that may be a big problem? I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
No, I don't really. But it could be the simplest of explanations when Trump berated him. And he, you know, got kind of, well, we're not going to be affected by any of these kinds of complaints. He may have actually rethought the whole situation, not wanting to get blamed for the inevitable stock market crash.
So everybody that is involved is continually playing hot potato.
Yeah.
Just keep on passing.
I do the same thing.
Yeah, you don't want to be the guy that ruins everything.
No, it's like, you don't want to be the, right. The guy that everyone blames.
Yeah, that guy, it was all because of him the party ended, bastard.
Yeah.
Without him around, who needs him around?
And there'll be a bunch of people second-guessing the rate hikes, I mean, forever. So what he wants to do is keep things kind of keep an even keel and then get out of the job and let somebody else come in and screw it up.
So then he could work at one of these think tanks and write a book.
Yeah.
Yep.
Boom.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. So let me just mention something, a quick plug here. Friday mornings at 9 a.m., every Friday morning at 9 a.m., TradeStation has invited me to host the Daily Morning Briefing, which is about a 25-minute before-the-bell discussion about markets and trends and economics and what's hot and answering questions and looking at your stocks. We share a screen, so I go over with my indicators what I'm thinking about, directional issues, and what the setups look like. So you could register over at TradeStation University. That's not TradeStationUniversity.com. Look up TradeStation space University and just sign up for the Daily Morning Briefing, and you should be able to get the information. Their sign-up is a little weird because it seems that every time you click the button that says sign up, it's the same day. But I think if you sign up, you'll be signed up forever. So just keep a watch on it. You'll find it. Kind of fun. I take like one giant breath at about 9:05 and I exhale at 9:30. That's how it moves fast.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, really. I take a lot of information and distill it down. The employment report this week or last week came out. We see a 4% unemployment rate. Total non-farm payrolls were 304,000 in January, which was, far beyond what I would have thought would be a reasonable number for January. I wasn't thinking it would be really low, but estimates were about 170. So in that range of 150 to 190 or so, but 304 on the backs of a major amount that we saw last month. Now, but with that, the BLS also announced during that meeting that the initial response rate for the establishment survey was 61%, the lowest response rate since 2008. And that may have to do with some of the government shutdown stuff and all that. But the December report also had a low initial response rate. And the data was revised down from 312,000 last month, so December, to 222.
Ah, that's a huge dip.
Yeah, that's very big. Now, it's still a good number. Right? 220 is still a good number. But how do they miss by 80,000 or 90,000?
Yeah, that's way too much.
So there's some question as to whether or not this is going to be the same thing, that they're maybe just throwing it out there looking for a decent number because they had to estimate because about 40% of the respondents may not have responded. So biggest gains we saw were in leisure and hospitality, construction, healthcare, transportation, warehousing, and that was it. There's a little chart there for you. I've seen some impressive employment gains in the, you know, with all of this grousing about, the trade war and government shutdown and all this stuff. I just don't understand why we keep on seeing the significant month after month after month gains in employment. Something just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. The month after month after month gains in employment. That's what doesn't make sense.
You know, I couldn't put my finger on it, but I'm glad you kind of codified that. That's good. what do you think? Do you think we're going to continue at this pace?
What jobs are they getting? Oh, I'm seeing more and more homeless.
That's area specific. I mean, you can't just look out your door and say no jobs.
I'm seeing more and more homeless in this area. And I think they're all over the place. They've moved them out of Atlanta so they could do their big Super Bowl, boring Super Bowl game.
Oh, that was so boring. Did you watch the whole thing?
Yeah.
That was frustrating.
I was rooting for one of the teams, which put on a pretty good defense. Could have beaten the other team if they'd scored more than 3 measly points. Couldn't keep the pass rush from running over Jared Goff. He got sacked 4 times and knocked down a half dozen. I mean, it was a horrible game.
Somebody was saying that neither team wanted to win because they didn't want to be invited to the White House.
Yeah.
But I thought that was a pretty boring game. What do you think of the halftime show?
I couldn't watch it.
Yeah. I watched part of it. I thought it was entertaining, but not like, wow.
Well, it's a bunch of it looked like a bunch of Illuminati symbolism for no good reason all over the place. I didn't like it. And then they smoke up the whole place, and the players have to come out and play the second half in this cloud of smoke. When you saw the camera angles, they're shooting these guys. It looks like they're in the fog. Mm. It can't be healthy.
Nope. Let's see. What do we got here? So even though it's on right now and you're probably taping it, or you'll see a rerun of it and a lot of news about it, of course. Of course, CNN will hate everything that he says. Fox will love everything that he says. What do you think about the idea that there was a pre-announcement that he's not going to, at least tonight, announce that using special powers to build the wall outside of congressional approval? What do you think about that?
Well, if you listen to, I think it was last week's No Agenda show, I think it was the Thursday show, where Adam had found this, there's a law that was put in place in 2016 where he doesn't have to use emergency powers to build the wall.
What could he do?
Oh, it's a specific law that says if drug smuggling is taking place, you can use the National Guard and the Army Corps of Engineers to build a wall.
Really? In 2016?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So what's the big problem? And the thing is, it was apparent where he got the idea from, Adam, was from listening to one of the hearings where this guy kept asking about one of the congressmen in one of the hearings was kept asking about the specific aspect of the law. And the guy, whoever was testifying, said, yeah, you can do that if you want. So it's maybe a little sidestep trickery going on here that might go into play in the next few months.
So that sidestep trickery would be that he will hold out looking for the wall to and not do the special powers in order to continue pressuring seeing if he get it done with congressional approval up to the last minute in order to pass the budget.
If they don't bite, then he's just going to, I think, pull this stunt, which doesn't involve calling it for an emergency or anything. That's right in the law. He's just going to implement it with something that's already been approved and legalized. And then he's going to keep pointing the fingers at them for not being good Americans. I think it's just a scam.
Hmm. Well, the other thing to watch tonight is going to be what is said and how it is said with regard to any legislation or any idea of forwarding the whole notion that drug prices are too high, companies are getting away with murder, they're charging people through the roof, their price escalations are out of control, and something needs to be done, and we need to do it now. Because if he does, we may see some volatility in the biotech, in the drug, in the healthcare area, because don't forget, Democrats are very in favor of that. Unless they became totally weird, and no matter what Trump says, they'll just say no to it.
Well, they're in favor of it as long as it's not going to happen. You've seen this all the time. Oh, yeah, let's do that. Okay, let's do it. Wait, hold on a second. We're jumping to conclusions. Let's don't do it. So I'm not buying any of it.
So say that again. They're in favor of it.
They're in favor of it as long as it's not going to happen.
Huh, I like it. That's good.
It's very very common political maneuver.
Yeah. Equity flows back. I just want to give a quick update because we have the full month information in now. I gave you partial information last month, but it seems that retail investors got right back into the market in January. TrimTab's investment research estimates that all equity mutual funds took in a total of $11 billion in January, the most since February of 2014. Now, that may seem like a lot and that may seem exciting, but let's kind of put that in perspective for a second. So there was a total of $89 billion of outflows in December. And all we got back was $11 billion. So that means one of two things. Either people aren't that excited to get back in, or there's a lot more money to go back in.
Huh.
So
Maybe.
I would think that, you know, the more the markets go up, the more people freak out that they missed the boat. So as the markets are going up, and I'm sure there's a lot of algos out there there's probably a FOMO algo that is just programmed to try to tantalize and put a carrot in front of retail investors so that they get all upset and bothered and all, you know, ready to go and got to put their money in to chase it. You know, you got to wonder how much they do of that, and then they just pull the rug out.
That's one way to do it.
Yep.
There's got to be some other way of screwing the public, but that sounds like a good one.
Yeah, there's all sorts of ways. There's giant novels. There's encyclopedias written on how to screw the public when it comes to the stock markets.
Yeah.
Google came out with the earnings last night. Let's see, last night. Yes, last night. The company reported fourth quarter net income of about $8.95 billion or about $12.77 a share. Compared with losses of $3 billion. Now, a lot of this stuff in the year ago period had to do with some tax. Remember we talked about how the tax deal happened and all these companies took these write-offs? So there was also something about another $9.9 billion expense in the fourth quarter of 2017 that they took, which was a year ago. And the revenues rose 39.28 billion from 32. So they got a $7 billion increase in revenue. That you can't fake. That you can't do any kind of manipulation with the sales. I mean, you could move it maybe one quarter to the next, but generally speaking, there's not all these different things that you can deduct and work with and the shenanigans and the footnotes that you can put on and one-time exemptions, one-time expenses. So that's a good number. They had they came in a little bit shy on revenue. Stock was down about 2% throughout the after hours, into the morning, into the mid-morning, and then all of a sudden decided, the hell with it, and went up. Same thing's happened over the last couple of days. Markets are starting out a little bit. They're just hanging out there in the morning, and then all of a sudden they just start climbing throughout the day. Significantly, 2 o'clock is like a whistle blows, and everybody decides to buy. 3 o'clock, 3:30 also, and then 3:55. It's kind of what we're seeing, the pattern right now. And this is all that same pattern that we've seen before. This is very similar to what I remember seeing after the market meltdown in February of last year, where all of a sudden the sentiment was so poor, it turned around, then everybody was just piling in left and right because the last 10 years, generally speaking, buying the dip has worked beautifully. So do it until it doesn't work, I guess, right? Question is, how do you know when it doesn't work?
Well, when it stops working.
Yeah, but what does that mean? Does that mean that the next time it goes down, you don't do it again? So let's say we see that in December we saw this major market decline.
No, it wouldn't be one shot. You would just because it didn't work once. You'd probably do it another dozen times before you'd get a clue.
Right. So what that means is, doesn't that mean that there is a bid under the markets for a long time to come?
Yeah. Yeah. Probably.
People
been working so well, right. I would have stopped, just instantly.
And even if we get a drop right now, let's call it 10% in the next, month, you would think that people will scurry back in again, unless there's some other major news or some kind of economic disaster or calamity or something that causes them to get upset, especially if you got the Fed now all of a sudden on our side.
Yeah.
It would seem like that.
We'll see.
Snap. I know you're a big Snapchat user.
I'm a big Snapchat fan.
Yep. So average revenue. I want you to put your thinking cap on here for a second because I read this and I had some thoughts. Stock's up about 21% after hours. Average revenue per user increased to $2.09. An improvement of 37% over the 1 year and 31% sequentially. Stock's up 20%. Okay.
Now, is that $2 per person quarterly or was that the yearly?
I believe it's going to probably be average revenue per user. I believe it would be quarterly.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So that would be $8 a year per person?
Yeah.
All right.
Whether it is or isn't, let's just get down to brass tacks and what this is. There's a different angle I want to talk to you about. The average revenue per user. So is this increase due to the fact that there's more revenue or there's less users? It's a ratio, right?
Yeah, but it's...
So if you had $1 million and you had 1 million users, you have a dollar per user.
Yeah, and if it was $1 million and 500,000 users, it would double.
Yeah. So my question is, we know that some of these apps are seeing a major decline in their user base. So is this a good thing or is it just some trickery?
Well, this is a problem. The whole analogy is a problem because it doesn't matter whether the user base is declining or falling. The revenues are going up. I mean, the absolute revenues are going up. So if they're going up and the user base is falling, well, that's a good thing. Because you means you're going to be getting more and more money from less and less people, so which will increase, which means it's all you need to do is get more people, and then you really go skyrocketing. So right. that's the way I'd see that is like a positive thing. The other one is more neutral, which is that the revenue's gone up because the user base has gone up, and they're just producing the same amount of money. That seems to me to be more of a neutral analysis. So I would like to see less users and more money.
Right. In other words, get rid of the crap. Get rid of the maybe some of the dead wood.
Dead wood, yeah. Get rid of always want to do that.
Right. Clean house. So in other words, what you're saying will encapsulate it by saying higher quality earnings.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. That's exactly right.
Yeah. So stock, again, up big after hours after. I mean, this stock got obliterated from the date, you know, from the IPO day in the last couple of years. We'll see how this plays out. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of players on the short side of this whole deal coming up.
I think they're making a mistake.
You think it's going to be a good stock overall?
Well, I've said this on the show before. I think Snapchat is undervalued.
Interesting. So why haven't you put in your fake money where your fake mouth is?
My fake money?
Yeah.
I think I did, didn't I, once?
Once you did, yeah.
Didn't and it crapped out?
Probably. I think you did. Now that you mention it, I do remember something about this. It's you saying it was undervalued. I remember that.
Yeah, but the game did. I mean, the overall, the market itself wasn't in agreement with me, obviously, and I got kicked off the board.
Yep.
I'm not going to put myself back on there for at least for a while.
Right. Electronics Arts. I know, didn't you? I think you told me your son is a big gamer.
With the whole family.
The whole family's of gamers. And they probably play EA games?
Maybe.
Well, you need to ask your son because the stock this evening came out with earnings and it plunged its worst decline since the .com bubble in after hours. Is that
18%? Well, him and his stock market speculative buddy, the two of them, won't listen to anything that I had to tell him, probably do have some thoughts on this.
Well, we should find out about what the story is with this because the CEO said that the company faced significant challenges in the fiscal third quarter that would continue throughout the fourth quarter. Not something you want to hear from the...
No, you don't want to hear that.
You don't want to hear that. Yeah. You don't want to hear something like, you know, we had significant challenges, but it looks better.
Yeah.
So I put up a chart on Electronic Arts there for you.
They may actually have an explanation for this. I'll ask the both of them.
So take a look at that chart. It's pretty...
Yeah. It's a classic.
Yeah,
it's not good.
So now with there's a lot of hats. There's so many hats that are being thrown into the presidential 2020. I mean, we see once a week somebody's throwing their hat in. And now everybody hates the independents. The Democrats hate him. Well, Howard Schultz and Bloomberg, they're trying to destroy his reputation now, talking about how Howard Schultz... And Starbucks, under the time when, during the time that he was in charge, paid like $23 million worth of complaints off or employee related stuff off.
Yeah. It's a huge operation.
Yeah.
Selling to the public with a low paid employees, even though they did have benefits. I think you're going to get a lot of grousing.
Well, you got a lot of hot coffee that can be spilled.
Yeah. And that.
So. With this, you know, they're all trying to position themselves for what will sell, right? Isn't that the play? What's going to really get to the heart of the people that will vote for me? So it seems that there's a Senate Democratic leader, Chuck Schumer, and Senator Bernie Sanders are teaming up here, outlining a plan on... how to limit or stop or slow stock buybacks.
Yes.
The proposal was...
Yeah, I was looking at the stock buyback chart. I posted a tweet with one of the charts floating around.
I mean, they're proposing a law that would slap preconditions on a company's ability to buy its own shares, and the goal
that
is
to... Yeah, it's horrible. They should not be thinking this way.
Right. The goal is to curtail the over-reliance on buybacks.
What if, I would just stop you. What if a company wanted to just go private overnight? Yeah. It would be illegal, by the way, these would do with what these guys are proposing.
Right. Because essentially,
I think the way Dell went about it, I think would be illegal. In other words, I want to buy my company back, and I want to buy it back tomorrow. I'll pay whatever I have to pay. With these guys, that would be illegal. How's that work? What kind of system do we have if that's illegal?
These guys are all about trying to hit the low-hanging fruit, as they see it, to go after these terrible people that have been successful in life. Now, I think we both admit that sometimes shenanigans are involved and there's some people
a lot of times
maybe being paid a little bit excessively.
And God knows there's never been any shenanigans with politics. Chuck Schumer.
Yeah. Bernie Sanders. How about with Bernie Sanders? Why does he have a Brooklyn accent, by the way? That doesn't make any sense, does it?
Well, not from being from Vermont, it doesn't.
Yeah. But last year, there were more than $1 trillion in buybacks done. And the whole thought was, oh my, they're supposed to get this big tax cut and they're supposed to pay everybody. Because remember, we had that whole, I don't know, that whole month that everybody was like, oh, we're giving everybody $1,000 more. Remember that whole thing?
Yeah.
You know, that was like nothing compared to what they got in the tax cut, in the tax benefits. And they're all upset now that the money that was used for the tax cuts was, I guess they would say, inappropriately used for the benefit of the company, which, by the way, is publicly held, which means that the shareholders got the benefit and any of the employees that decided to hold the shares or maybe had stock options or maybe that had stocks in their 401k plans. Now, I'm not doing a Wilbur Ross let them eat cake discussion here. I'm not. I understand very clearly that there is a significant division and differential between what the average worker makes and, let's just say, anybody in upper management. I get that. And yes, I think it's somewhat absurd to a degree. But at the same time, those people obviously got there for some reason. And the board of directors, the shareholders, are basically giving them the thumbs up to stay and do what they're doing, and they're creating wealth for them. If they weren't, they'd kick them out.
Yes.
So this is a stupid thing. I'm not a big fan of the buybacks, as you know, because I think it distorts markets. But this is stupid.
This doesn't solve any problem at all.
No.
The real problem will be solved by itself. I mean, you think the buybacks are stupid. I'm not a big fan either. And I agree with everything you say about them. But the market itself will wipe these guys. I mean, they're all buying high and they're bound to end up selling low. This is not a – I don't see how this is a beneficial thing for any of these companies to be buying up their own stock unless they want to go private, and they don't.
They're basically going private one bite at a time. That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
So
going private by 1,000 cuts.
Yeah. Speaking about going private, Ultimate Software Group, ULTI, symbol ULTI, said on Monday there's a surprise announcement out of nowhere. It agreed to be bought by an investor group led by Hellman and Friedman in a deal valued at about $11 billion. The stock was said to be bought for $331.50, which pretty much coincides to the high that they hit last year. It's a premium about 19%. Now, I have a story about this company. This company,
I would like to hear it.
This company's in my backyard. When I first started out in business back in, a little bit after that, after I started, but back in 19.
Hold on. Before you go on, let me just set up the premise. We're dealing with a software company in Florida.
Yeah.
Okay, keep talking.
This company basically was breakaways from like an ADP, and they created initially a software package for smaller companies that could do payroll and payroll processing, et cetera, and grew and grew and grew. Now, let me just give you the backstory. I first met them because I lived near the owner of it and the person who came up with the idea. It just so happened that my office at that time, I think it was back in 1990, was in the same building. There was a law office. It was a rather large law office, and there was an entire suite with, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 different offices. In other words, 2,500 square feet of offices they carved out to rent out. So I had one of those with a couple of buddies, and Ultimate Software had a small group. There was a couple of other ones in there too. Well, over time, Ultimate Software was growing. So they bought and took over another guy's office. And they're growing, and I heard a little bit about them, and I find out about them. Okay. Well, long story short, I left that office. I was moving out. I was building my office on another road in the same town. And my office build wasn't ready, and they wanted to take over my office. I said to him, listen, Scott. Scott's the CEO and founder. I said, Scott, listen. I'm not sure what I'm going to do. He said, listen, don't worry about it. Stay as long as you want. I'm going to move a few people in your office. You take whatever area you need. I'll take the rest. We'll just live together for a couple of months if we have to. So during that time period, there was actually a lot of help they gave me because they were all techies and helped me out with a bunch of things I was looking to do at the time. And then I finally left. Meanwhile, the schmuck that's sitting in the seat that's talking to you never bought the shares of this company. And let me tell you, that stock has done very well. So,
well, they were doing okay. I mean, they're doing about almost $1 billion in revenue.
Right.
And so they sold for 11 times sales, more or less.
It's great. I mean,
or 11 times revenue.
I don't know how much Scott, the CEO, and the rest of people, I know a bunch of people from the company, are worth, but it's plenty. They probably said, you know what? I'm 50 something years old. Time to get out. Why not? He's still going to run it, actually. Scott Scheer is the name of the guy that is the CEO and the founder. Yeah. He's still going to run this company. And they, by the way, they are one of, if you look them up, they're one of, whatever, you know, those awards like best company to work for. They get that year in and year out on a national basis.
And they're in Florida.
They're a great company. They really are. Really, really charitable. Well, I'm surprised
that you didn't get 10% of the company by letting them the poach your space. And then you'd be worth $1 billion. You wouldn't be doing the podcast.
I'd be doing the podcast.
You'd be doing the podcast.
I'd be doing the podcast. If I won the lottery this week, nothing would change on Tuesday nights. Everything else will change, but not Tuesday nights. How's that?
I wonder what you could have gotten the stock for.
Don't start. Now you're killing me. Really? Seriously? You want to look at the stock? Think about it. I could have probably got it for nothing. Even 100 shares. Back in the day when they started, I don't know when they went public, whatever year that was, but even somewhere around there would be worth a lot of money.
I think they went public in 90.
So there you go.
No, they were founded in 90. Yep, that's I don't know when they went public.
Founded in 90. That's what I'm telling you, the year.
That's when you were bumping up against them.
Mm-hmm. Huh. And he lives right out where I used to live out in Weston. Plus, I bump into him at the cigar bar all the time. The whole gang's over. They're next door to the cigar bar I go to in Weston. Smoke on the Water, it's called. And it's a great bar. If you ever get down
to Florida. Like the story Scott Adams told me.
What did he tell you?
He was, he's a guy who actually introduced me to the World Wide Web. He was working for Pacific Telephone. And he had a web surfing device and a mosaic, and he just showed me this stuff. I said, that's kind of cool. And he said he was quite jacked up about it because every time anyone would come in who he'd show this to, because it was in 93, 92, something like that, just out. Yeah, and everyone that showed it to the guy, all jacked up. Everyone went nuts saying, oh, my God, this is fantastic. Look what you can do. So he he started asking around. He says, you know, this is – everyone's so enthused about this thing. What would you – and he asked his top engineers – so what do you think I should invest in that where I could benefit from this, what's obviously going to be a big deal? And they all, at least one or two of them said, no, there's only one. I mean, the real surefire winner is Cisco.
That makes sense.
And then he said, Cisco. Yeah. And Cisco back in 92 was, that's the time you put your money into Cisco, 93. And he says he never did it.
Oh, so close. So close.
Just missed.
Just missed, yeah. Well, we're going to have to say bye-bye to the Bond King. Seems that Janice Henderson announced this week that veteran Bond manager Bill Gross, the Bond King, you know, got to have names for people, the Bond King, will retire to focus on his personal assets and charitable foundation.
Yeah, because his Bond predictions have all been
poor.
Dubious.
Yeah, lately he's not doing so well. He was managing $293 billion at one time at PIMCO. And that just went to crap in a crapper real quick when the whole Muhammad Al-Erian deal went down and the big arguing between them. Then he went to Janice Henderson and somehow they got like $1 billion, but they could never get the thing going. And he should have left right after PIMCO. He should have said, okay, I'm done. But I think what he tried to do was try to prove that he could, you know, he still got it. I still got it.
Yeah.
But that didn't work out. So now he just goes down as a failure in the end. Not a failure.
So what isn't he one of the guys that two or three, 4 years ago was promoting the Bond collapse?
Yeah. I think Gunlack from Double Line and he both have talked about it many times. But meanwhile, it's only been invested in his bond, so I don't know what they're really, why they'd be talking about a bond collapse.
I have no idea.
Yeah, that's just stupid. That's like going into an ice cream store and the whole time the guy talking about some horrible bacteria in ice cream. You know what I'm saying? Why would he do that?
Yeah.
That makes no sense. Anyway, business messaging service Slack Technologies. You know about Slack? Are you familiar with that company?
Not too familiar, no.
If you have Slack, you could do messaging and bring Teams into message, and it's kind of like Skype.
Yeah, I see the groupware kind of operation. I've seen these things come and go.
I don't get it. They said it had confidentially applied for an initial public offering with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. So somehow we know about this, so I don't exactly know how confidential this really is. I mean,
it doesn't seem very confidential.
If we know about it, it is not confidential.
No.
And then finally, for this little section of the show, we're going to mention that there's some cold water being thrown all over the markets. Several big name brokerages are coming out this week and the last week or so with a very worrisome outlook. Latest was Goldman Sachs. They said the January rally is about all you're going to get for this year, which, by the way, that makes sense. If you think about the average year is up about, we'll call it 7 to 10% on average. So we got 7% or 8% in January. So you're done.
You're done.
In fact,
shut it down.
Shut it down. Let's just kind of restart. Let's do it again. So they said that we argued that a modest bounce at some point early in the year was likely. And if investors missed it, they say this crap, right? We argue that a modest bounce at some point early in the year was likely. Now, how broad is that so they could be right?
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
I'm making a prediction right
these
now.
These are the same guys that promoted oil at 200 about 10 years ago.
Yeah, we were on that one. We were on that one hard.
Yeah.
We ran that one. But, I mean, it's like me saying, you know what? I predict there's going to be a 1% or 1% to 2% downward move in markets over the next couple of months. Sometime during that period. They'll be followed by probably a 1% to 2% increase over a few days. Sometime during that time. You know?
Yeah, I could do that. My inevitable market collapse.
Yeah, they'll be.
When it finally happens, could be any time in the future.
You're going to be right.
I'm going to say, I told you.
Yeah, you're right.
I told you. I knew it was coming.
Yep. All right, let's mention that, of course, we are here doing this not only for our benefit, because we enjoy each other's company, but also for the benefit of the listeners. And if you're getting any benefit out of this, it's high time to pay up. Spend some money, go over to the site, donate a couple of bucks. It's easy to do. Just go over to dhunplugged.com and click on the donate button and send some money over our way because we have, actually, I need to buy another batch of shirts. That's something serious. Plus, you need to pay for all the pens I bought when I tried to sign that shirt that time. I got probably $300 worth of pens I bought for that. But seriously, it's important. It's the way we get things going, keep it lively, keep it entertaining. And you could be doing a lot of other things. And if you were doing them, you're probably spending money. So we're probably saving you money.
I hope so.
Yep. So give, please. And by the way, last couple of weeks have been pretty lame. So if you're listening right now, I'm going to make you feel bad just a little bit. Because if you're not giving, it's hurtful, painful. It's disappointing.
It's hurtful. Yeah, I think you nailed it.
Yeah, it's hurtful. I want to call for a new stock for the next closest to the pin. And yeah. I got to get a pen here. Just fill time for a second.
All right. Well, one of the things that we could filling time, I do want to talk about another topic that we forgot to talk about.
What?
Which is J.B. Morgan suggesting that Apple buy Netflix.
Oh, how many times do we have to hear the same crap?
Apple's got enough money to buy Netflix cash. They figure they're estimating $189 billion to buy it because they got like $250 in the bank or something like that.
$254. What does that do for them?
Well, it gets them into the business of creating content, moving the, you know, getting people to watch the movies on the iPhone. Gets them into some other business. They're gonna go. This company is doomed.
Netflix or Apple?
Well, from my perspective, both.
Okay. Who is doomier?
I think Apple's doomed. Of course, everybody rolls their eyes knowing that I'm not a big fan of Apple. All right. It's not that I'm not a big fan. I'm kind of a fan. But I've never been accurate with my Apple prognostications.
So why are you bothering saying something this way? Why don't we go the other way?
Say this is okay. I'll say it. It's a good idea to do this deal.
Well, and that you know, if it is a good idea to do this deal in a roundabout fashion, it may actually doom the company because it's overvalued. It's a lot of money. They're not going to spend $180 billion for Netflix. I mean, come on. I mean, of course I could be wrong about this, obviously, but it seems highly unlikely.
Well, it also seems too expensive.
Buy McDonald's, for God's sakes. I mean, buy Starbucks or something. I mean, I don't
know. There you go. Buy McDonald's.
Yeah, buy McDonald's. This way, you know, you have free Wi-Fi and you could put.
You know, always have something to eat.
Yeah.
What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah. I don't see the logic in this Netflix thing. It's, you know, the shows are good. People watch it. Yes, I understand all that. But Apple's going to get their hands on it. And then what? And I don't think Reed Hastings wants to give it up anyway. Apple, you know, the days when people should buy whoever they're buying, I mean, they should have done an alignment maybe with like Apple's not really equipped to do Salesforce. Microsoft should have bought Salesforce years ago. That would have been a really good hookup. But because, I mean, just their CRMs are terrible, Microsoft. Anything related to CRMs, I can't get near. I can't even touch. Do you know that I don't use Outlook? I can't. I haven't. I've done it a few times. I can't do it.
It's terrible.
Oh, I mean, it would bog me down all day.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I just don't imagine with the slowdown in the revenues and the latest failure, with the lack of any innovation by Apple, no innovation by Apple. I mean, the only innovation we have from Apple is we're going to increase the size of the screen. We're going to decrease the size of the screen.
The thing about Jobs, it was always kind of really never fully appreciated. And I wasn't his biggest fan, but he would go out. He'd get out of the office and he'd go bouncing around from one little dipshit startup to another, checking out their technologies and seeing and looking for new ideas. And he'd get inspired. I mean, I remember seeing going to some little company and they said, oh, yes, Steve is very interested in this. And they showed me this electroluminescent display, not the original one that was used to be shown on the grid computer, but one that came much later. It was very unusual display. And I said, Jobs already knows about this? And yeah, he was here and he's very excited about it. Of course, the thing crapped out. Something was wrong with it. It never got anywhere. But he was constantly doing that. And Gates was too, even though Gates was in the software business. In the olden days when you could talk to Bill Gates when he was actually running a company and not a philanthropist.
Philanthropist.
You could ask him, say, what is the coolest things you've seen in the last 6 months? And he'll name two or three really cool and unusual hardware products that impressed him. He wasn't about to invest in him, but he kept up. I don't think that Tim Cook or any of these other newer CEOs ever get out of their office.
They may not. They're just bogged down with meetings and, of course, counting their money, making the call do more for the stock buybacks, obviously, and figuring ways to screw the employees. That seems to be, from what Schumer is saying, is happening.
Yeah.
But they have people doing their bidding for them now anyway. So quick answer. Somebody's asking in the chat room, what do I use for my email? Well, I have Gmail for a variety of things, but what I use is I have a plugin that was built specifically for Salesforce that is an email inbox system that actually when something comes in, it links it right to the client record, and I could do all sorts of good stuff with that. It's not a perfect solution, but it works really nicely because I can't stand the whole idea of trying to look things up and search emails. I have everything contact-based, so I want to go look at a contact that can actually find it, which you can do that with Outlook too, but I find what I'm looking for. Everything is in the client record very easily, so it always references just very nicely for me. All right, what stock are we going to pick for the next close to the pin?
Well, it sounds like you have an idea already.
I have no ideas.
Well, let's see. We've done, what was the last thing we did was the steel company.
Cleveland Cliffs, yep.
How about a high-tech company that's flaky?
You know, I don't think I, just 1 second. I don't think we announced the winner for Cleveland Cliffs.
I thought you did last show.
I don't think so.
Well, now's the time.
Because it ended Friday, the 1st.
Oh, well then you couldn't possibly have announced it. And you left it off the notes.
I'm bad. All right, the winner.
We can announce it next show.
We could. I may forget. All right, I'll make that note. Announce next show.
I'm sure they're on pins and needles. CTP.
Name an industry. Just name something. Anything.
Tech.
Okay,
tech. Oh, wait. Hold on. Let me take a look. I'm going to look at one of those heat charts.
Yeah.
And for the whole world. And see what what's the main industry where there might be something interesting. Heat chart, come on. Come up.
Heat chart.
The one time I need this heat chart, it's not showing up. I mean, it's just a bunch of blanks. Okay, utilities are out. Minerals are out. Tech, you don't seem too enthusiastic about.
We could do tech. I mean, there's lots of possible names on there. I mean,
how about basic materials? Okay, here they are. Here's the heat chart. We got services, mm-hmm. which includes some tech. We have consumer goods, which I don't think we've done.
Consumer goods would be like a Procter & Gamble, Johnson, well, maybe to a degree, Johnson & Johnson.
How about Procter & Gamble? You said it.
We could do Procter & Gamble. Procter & Gamble.
Yeah.
P-G. Got it. All right, yeah. Let's go back. Let me close this so I don't announce anything too early here. All right. You know what? I'm calling Ripoff. Ripoff.
Okay.
Drew Ackerman's podcast. He's got this podcast going that's boring and is meant to basically be listened to while you're going to sleep to help you go to sleep.
Oh, that's a pretty good idea.
Yeah, his podcast features quirky conversations, putting people to sleep.
I know a lot of podcasts that'll do that.
Yeah, we were the first ones that put people to sleep.
Yeah.
Come on. He's getting 3 million downloads a month.
Wow.
Yeah. No kidding, wow.
Why don't we just copy his model and get 2 million a month?
I thought we invented the model.
Well,
A lot of people sleeping right now. Here's a problem with cryptocurrencies. You probably read this story about $137 million seems to be locked up in forever nowhereville because the account is frozen in the user accounts of Canadian digital platform Quadriga. Because after the founder died.
Oh.
He died suddenly in December and he was the only one with passwords to gain access.
Oh.
Because he held this stuff in like a cold storage. He held it in cold storage, a lot of this stuff that was there on all the different coins. And you could trade Bitcoin, Litecoin, Ethereum, all this stuff. They had 363,000 registered users, which owes a total of $250 million Canadian to 115,000 affected users. And I guess the guy said in an affidavit, the coin's main computer contained a cold wallet, which is only accessible physically and not online. His death left in excess of 100 million in coins and cold storage. And everybody's been searching around and looking for like little papers and stuff to try to figure out maybe he wrote it down somewhere.
This is terrible.
Yeah. There's a problem with safety.
This is the problem with passwords.
Right. Well, and passwords in this kind of situation where you're not supposed to tell anybody.
Yeah.
Because you don't want your password wallet hacked and them getting to this. It's just like, it's, you don't want to write it down, God forbid. You know, it's just this whole, you know, write it down, stick it underneath your desk or something like that. Or somewhere in a safe. But if you put it in a safe, then, you know, not with a combination, with a key. Of course, that's a problem. You could have used, like, he could have used some kind of biometric reader. And even if he's dead, he could have put his thumb on there or something.
Yeah, yeah, stick his eyeball in there.
Right?
Yeah.
So that would have been a better way. Maybe that's the way to go, is to use some kind of a bodily part as authentication into a cold wallet. This way, then again, then you got the problem if somebody cut your finger off to go steal your money.
They probably have to cut off your whole hand because you could. They don't, unless they've seen you what finger you use.
Right. Then, right. That's a good point. Maybe both hands, because they don't know. It could be left or right hand.
Yeah, there you go.
And people, that they could be people that use their toes.
You are. You could use your nose.
In Sears, the U.S. agency has ensured that insures the workers' pension sought permission on Friday to take over two underfunded Sears Holding Corp's pension plans. So it seems that Eddie Lambert's not able to get this thing going, and there's all sorts of problems with the pension plan. And then finally, it seems to be a good time to buy a used car. Car dealers at the beginning of 2019 have a heavy inventory of unsold vehicles.
Well, they get them cheap.
3.9 million cars in their lot, a 3% increase from last year. And they're expecting that sales are going to slow down also.
And now's not a bad time to buy used cars, because used cars over the years, over the last decade at least, or even the last 20 years, have increased in quality.
Yeah. Cars in general. Yeah.
Yeah. Cars in general. You know, they make them so they're sealed engines. They don't need to tune them till there's 80,000 miles. My Lexus is always, you change the spark plugs at 90,000 miles or 80,000 miles. If then.
Right. Mention again that you go over to donate right before we get to the weekly stock pick section and my quick read of this disclosures and disclaimers. But go over and donate over on dhunplugged.com for all the fun stuff that you're hearing tonight. And if you fell asleep by now, hopefully you can
wake up and send money.
Exactly. So we're going to get over to the weekly stock picks. This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk, as they are not to be considered recommendations. Educational only game we play. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we will disclose that on the website under the weekly stock pick section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names that we discussed in the segment, along with the performance information and the date discussed, as well as the additional important disclosures. I'm going to try to read that really fast next week. Faster.
Oh, no, record it and then just speed it up 10% on the using Audacity or something.
Yep. All right, so why don't you read the list, which looks pretty flaccid.
Well, first of all, let's start by saying this. Over half of the stocks in the last week have been kicked off.
Yeah, pretty amazing.
Yeah, we had 9 stocks, and 5 of them are now been kicked off.
Most of them were shorts that were kicked off. As a matter of fact, all of them.
All of them were short. every single short, with the exception of, I think this is my pick of Johnson & Johnson, which I'm losing on. That could be kicked off any minute. Which is the only short left. The shorts have not worked. So that's good to know.
It's good to know. I think that I'm going to move this over here. Control V. Just click this, delete. They haven't worked. I mean, Apple came off. You lost 8.5% after its earnings came out. Tesla, you're kicked off, but you're up 8.43%. That's another pick of yours. Netflix was a pick of mine on the short side. I'm off, but it's up 1%. Medtronic is still live, up 1.7%. Starbucks got kicked. That was my pick on a China slowdown, which doesn't seem to be happening. They're still drinking that rancid coffee. Down 5% on the kick. Valvoline is still open. John smells a merger there, up 5.5%. PG&E, amazing. Made money on it, up 1% on the short. Stock is going bankrupt. It doesn't go down.
I love it.
Amazing. And Selecta Biosciences, where John was doing a little bit of bottom feeding because insiders were picking up 9%.
Yeah, 9% in one show.
Pretty good. pretty good. I'm going back to the well.
Your favorite.
They got earnings coming out on the 14th on Valentine's Day. A mattress company coming out with earnings on Valentine's Day. Creepy deepy, man. Don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's funny.
That's just, you know, it would be like Trojan coming out with their earnings on Christmas Day or something. It's creepy. Yeah. It's creepy. So I'm going to go back to Tempur Sealy International. We saw a big slowdown in the housing. This stock came down. It bounced back up. It's where it was about December or so into its earnings. And we're going to go on the short side of this, looking for an opportunity. Last time I did this, the stock I entered at 47 and got stopped out of 51. It's currently trading at 54.16. So got an extra 7% on that on the upside since the close out of it. And I figure it's time. What do you got?
I have two stocks that I'm picking solely based on the charts.
Okay.
Because they're trend line down. This is an interesting way to do this. They're trend line down in every way, except that they busted out. One of them in particular busted north. I think it's because the market's picked up. And it's now we have the downward trend line has been ruined.
Look at this. I like this.
It makes me think that perhaps
there's more upside.
Going up with this, it might be not a bad pick. This is DS. Let me get the name of DSW? It again. No, this one. This is kind of a nutty stock. DSPG. And the trend line, which is hammered, and it works within a range, and it gets hammered, and then it goes up. It's between 1250 and 1050, is up and down and up and down and up and down, and within this very narrow range, and then it's shot to 1280. Hmm. And I believe that this may be an upside signal.
Okay. What you got next?
And the next one is a similar stock. I hate to do two stocks based on the same theory, but.
Well, if one of them works, you look like a hero.
If they both work.
Well, only one of them, too. One of them could be a, you know.
Yeah, that's true. This is another one with the same downline trend, huge downline trend. This thing is, but that's borderline penny stock. But this is NRT, the North European Oil Royalty Trust, which may be breaking up out of the trend from because of Brexit.
We had to bring that
Brexit
up.
Brexit related. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I'm still doing it based only on this chart because this chart is fascinating. Fascinating as the other one. The other one is like, wow, it's just like this is going up and down and up and down within this range. And it's very distinctive. And then it's popped past it.
So we're going to call this a chart trend.
Charts.
So you can find all this information over on DH Unplugged. Go over to the weekly stock picks page. Again, this is just a game that we play, but you can track what we're doing because it looks like what you'll find is that you'll see what's in and out of our picks and what's stopped out. We have some certain stops on there, like 10%, or we'll say otherwise, the trailing stops on this. And it's all tracked over there just to have some fun and see what's going on. We come up with some crazy ideas. And, you know, again, if we do invest in these, we mention that and disclose that. So that's that. All right, we're going to have to end it. We're running a little bit over.
All right.
So I will see you next week, sir.
Okay, talk to you Tuesday.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.